Well, this is the last sermon in our Hebrews series. We've come to the end, and I thought as we come to the final sermon, I'd take us right back to the beginning. You remember where Hebrews started, the first couple of verses? Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets. So in the Old Testament, God spoke to his people, and he spoke to them through prophets. We have a lot of those words now in our Old Testament. But now, in these last days, God has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Now, this Son, this Jesus, we're told, is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of God's nature. Wow. We're told that this Son, this Jesus, upholds the universe by the word of his power. And after this Son, this Jesus, made purification for our sins, he has sat himself down at the right hand of majesty on high. That was just the first three verses of Hebrews. Wow. Wow. And if they're true, and they are, and if you believe them, if you have put your trust in Jesus, you have unstoppable hope and contagious joy. I mean, we know the God who made the universe, and not only made it, but he is right now sustaining it. And we know him. We just sung about him, didn't we? You're a good, good father. We know that he is, because he sent his own Son to make purification for our sins. This is the gospel that we know. Jesus has come. Jesus has made purification for our sins. Jesus is now seated. His job of saving, of purifying, of dealing with sin, it's done. And he's seated on the greatest, most high, most powerful, most epic throne in the entire universe. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In the past, God spoke it many times in many ways through the prophets, but now, oh now, he's spoken by his Son. Therefore, let us be grateful, we heard last week, for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. We have unstoppable hope and contagious joy. The good news of Jesus Christ is the best news ever. Hebrews has been a great series in our preaching, in our point groups. Over and over, week by week, we've heard Jesus is better. Jesus is better. Jesus is better. And do you remember as well, along the way, that the author of Hebrews keeps giving us the most dire warnings? Do you remember one of the more recent ones, Hebrews 10:31? It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Last week we heard Hebrews 12:29, for our God is a consuming fire. There's all these warnings. Don't let go of Jesus. Don't drift away from Jesus. Hold on to your confidence that you have in Jesus. Why the warnings? Why so many warnings? I'll tell you why. Jesus is better, but he's not easy. Jesus is better, but he is not easy. You and I are tempted every day to replace Jesus. Temptations every day. Therefore, every day, we're told to lay aside the weight and sin and turn our eyes to Jesus. Every day. Now, this final chapter of Hebrews that we're about to look at, it's been read to us, a list of specific ways that Christians are called to worship God. Now, listen in very carefully. Many churchgoers make a shipwreck of their faith with chapters like chapter 13 of Hebrews. It's as if they forget everything that's been written in chapters 1 to 12 and turn chapter 13 into a list of things we need to do so that we can be accepted by God. The first 12 chapters of Hebrews, is the author went out of his way to tell us Jesus put an end to religion, but many of us want to turn this list of things that we need to do into a list of things that we need to do in order to be accepted by God. And so here's how we're going to work through Hebrews chapter 13 today. Firstly, we're going to learn the difference between worship and religion. And then after we looked at that, we're going to come back to that sentence I just shared a minute ago. Jesus is better, but he's not easy. And then we're going to finish with the gospel. That's where Hebrews finishes, and that's where we want to end. So first of all, we're looking at worship versus religion. Then we're looking at better, not easy. And then we're finishing with the gospel. That's where we're headed. So first of all, worship versus religion. Look at Hebrews 12:28 again. Therefore, in light of everything that's been written about Jesus and what he has done, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship. We're about to hear from chapter 13, acceptable worship. A list of acceptable worship. And so as we head into it, just want to remind us, it's not a list of religious things we have to do. This is a list of our acceptable worship. You ready? Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Let familial love continue. Let sibling love, let family love continue. We're a family. God has saved us into his family. We're brothers and sisters. And so let love continue amongst us, among us. Not little groups here, there, of like-minded people. No, we love one another. And then verse 2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. You're not allowed to text in questions about the angels. We can talk about that afterwards. You can text in a question if you want. It's unfortunate the way the beginning is translated. Verse 1 is, let family love continue. Verse 2 is, and love strangers. That's what it is to show hospitality. Hospitality is the love that we show to those outside of us. So not only should we love one another, we should go out there and love the community as well. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Now, this isn't a verse that's telling us to go off to Kempsey and minister to those incarcerated at Kempsey. That is a good thing to do. That is a ministry to do. But this is actually a verse telling us, remember, Hebrews was written to persecuted Christians, people who were following Jesus and they were being thrown in jail. And so the temptation would be, ooh, my Christian mate just got thrown in jail. I'm going to stay away from him in case I get thrown in jail too. Jesus says, no, go visit them. Go bring them food. Go take care of them. When you see a workmate, when you see a schoolmate being picked on for being a follower of Jesus, don't sort of skulk away. No, get alongside them. Be with them. Put your hand up for Jesus with them. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Wow. Well, you can make a whole sermon series on this one, couldn't you? God has sexual standards for the world. And God says, uphold them. We now are very opposed to the way that the world thinks about sexual standards. God has a good design for our bodies. I hope we have text questions coming in on this one. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is our helper. The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the owner of absolutely everything. He's our Father. We should be the most generous people in the world. And this is the stat that I constantly bring out when we talk about money. So why is it in the 21st century, when our houses are bigger and our clothes are, our wardrobes are bigger, we are less generous than Christians from the Great Depression? Do we love money too much? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you, the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. We'll talk about that because verse 17 talks about leaders as well. Think about that in a sec. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We are people of the Word. We are people of Jesus Christ. This is Jesus' Word. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We don't get to play around with the Bible. We are doctrine people. We are theology people. We are Bible people. We love God's Word. Now, I'm going to skip over a few verses because we'll come back to verse 13 in a bit. Verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. I want to spend the next 30 minutes just on that verse. There's a couple of verses there on leaders within church. Church is important to what God is doing in the world. The local church is the hope of the world. Being a member within a local church is part of God's design for you and me together, because we need to keep preaching the gospel to each other so that we can go out into the world and preach the gospel like Keziah's just prayed for us. Church is vitally important to our worship and the way God has made us. Now remember, this list is a list, it's a worship list. It's not a religion list. Therefore, it's not comprehensive. There's lots of other ways we offer our lives in worship. These are some important behaviours of disciples. We love people. All people, not just people that are like us. We love people. We love our bodies and we want to use them the way that God tells us to use them. We don't love money. We need our local church that we're part of. We love God's word. We love his commands. And we expect persecution. Now remember, this is a worship list. This is how we pour out our life as Jesus poured out his life for us. This is a worship list, not a religion list. Religion is doing godly things so that God will accept you. Worship is doing godly things because God has accepted you. Religion, doing godly things so that God will accept me. Worship is God's accepted me through Jesus. I now do godly things that he calls me to do. You know, God wants to save sinners. God loves to save sinners. Do you remember Hebrews 12 verse 2? Jesus went to the cross for the joy that was set before him. God loves to save sinners. The good news of Jesus Christ makes religion stupid. Religion is playing the scale game, and the scale game always fails. Balance scales. And so the scale game is, well, trying to do more good than bad. I'm going to practice my religion. I'm going to do my church stuff. I'm going to read the right holy book. I'm going to say the right prayers. I'm going to help the old granny across the street. I'm not going to swear. I'm not going to commit sexual sin. I want more good than bad. The scale game always fails because the scale game cannot eliminate our bad. Only Jesus can do that. Listen, listen, listen. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have good news. It is the good news of salvation to eternal life. It is the good news of rescue from sin and death. It is the good news of acceptance. I'm loved by the Father. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's good news. Through Jesus Christ, sinners like you and me have confidence to come to God. We don't fix ourselves up. We cannot fix ourselves up. But Jesus can completely, to the uttermost, make us clean. He has made purification for sins, and he's now seated, and he's freely offering forgiveness. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, God has declared you clean, pure, righteous, child, you're a daughter, you're a son, that's who you are. Jesus is better. Jesus is better. But he's not easy. And one of the reasons Jesus is not easy is because you and I are so easily tempted. We're like addicts. In our better moments, we know that Jesus is better. But then we're tempted by selfishness and lust and greed. We have daily temptations to sin. And so we need daily prompts to worship God. Hebrews 13 is not a list of rules that we need to keep so that God will accept us. Hebrews 13 is a list of behaviors of how we now live because we are accepted by God. Hebrews 13 is a reminder of how God's children live. Jesus saved us, and so we hand our lives over in worship. The message of Hebrews is Jesus is better. Don't return to sin and religion. Jesus is better. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Worship Jesus, because only Jesus brings us into the presence of God. All right, that's worship versus religion. We now turn to Jesus is better, but not easy. Better, but not easy. Have a look at chapter 13, verse 13. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Some of us like to live under the delusion that if we would just love in the way that Jesus loved, then we would have more opportunities to share Jesus. Yeah, what we need to do is go out and we just need to love more like Jesus did, and then people will want to hear about Jesus. Now, yes, we do need to love more. If you're like me, I do need to be more loving to those around me, absolutely 100%. But we're foolish to think, oh, and then all of a sudden our friends are going to turn around and say, oh, would you tell me about Jesus? Jesus loved people perfectly. Jesus came and did nothing but love people. We're about to sing a song called Jerusalem. It's a song that reminds us about how Jesus loved his city. Jesus loved Jerusalem. Jesus longed for Jerusalem. Jesus cried over Jerusalem. Jesus's longing, he actually described his longing over Jerusalem. He described himself as a mother hen who wants to gather her chicks. Jesus loved Jerusalem. This same city that cried out for his murder. This same city that didn't accept him, so much so they took him outside the city and nailed him to a cross. And Hebrews 13:13 tells you and me to follow Jesus outside the city. What does that mean? It means we are to love people, knowing full well that they're going to reject us. Jesus is crystal clear. No society, no culture, no political system will ever fully embrace the gospel of Jesus. My dear brother and sister, today we are looking at the hardest part of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus is calling us to join him outside the comfort of being accepted in the inner circle. Have you noticed how many Christian values are now hated in the culture wars? In the last fortnight, have you noticed the heat around abortion? It's hot. Over the last several years, have you noticed the heat in the cultural wars around human sexuality, what Jesus has to say about human sexuality and what the culture is saying about human sexuality? It's really hot. The anger is tangible. And Jesus calls us to love our Jerusalem. Now, love doesn't mean, oh, we're somehow magically going to agree. No, I'm not saying that. But equally, love is not hating back when we're hated. Jesus calls us to love our Jerusalem. We're to weep and to cry and to long, and to pray. Yes, we hold our convictions, but we hold them with compassion and courage and love. Jesus is better, but he's not easy. Following Jesus, it's not easy. It's laying our reputation down for people who will hate us, and that's not easy. But that is exactly what Jesus did for us. And he calls us to go with him outside the city. Do you know, we have the better story. Our friends need to hear what God has to say about sex and transgender and the unborn child and the equality of race and gender. We must not retreat. And we must not fight fire with fire. Just because the West is angry at us doesn't give us permission to get angry at the West. Jesus wept, Jesus longed, Jesus prayed, Jesus loved. That's what we're to look like as disciples. And man, oh man, is that hard. To love people who despise everything you stand for. That is hard. And it's only a gospel love that can bring that about. So that's why we're going to finish with the gospel. How can we love people who hate us? Well, we look to Jesus, the one who loved us when we hated him. Come back with me to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Hebrews 3, verse 12. Take care, brothers and sisters, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And then jump over to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging. And remember that word encouraging is the exact same word in the original language as exhort back in chapter 3, verse 12. So daily we're to exhort one another. Daily we're to encourage one another. Daily we're to counsel one another with this gospel that has saved us. Jesus is the one who saved us. Our confidence is in him, not in the religion that we do. None of us deserve to be saved. But God has poured his love over us through Jesus Christ. And if he has done that for us, we can go out into the world and love. We need to preach the gospel to each other. God calls us to hold each other accountable. Oh, church, let's be real with each other. Let's be transparent with each other. Let's not walk around as if we've got it all together. Jesus has it all together and he's loved us. And so we repent with each other. We're transparent with each other. We confess our sin with each other. And as we receive the love of the gospel through each other, we go in love with that same gospel. We remind each other the world will despise you. You will be tempted by sin, but Jesus is better. This is the gospel fight. This is the daily fight. It's a personal fight. It's an each other fight. It's a church fight. We fight to see Jesus, his love, his peace, his power. Read from Hebrews 13, verse 20 with me. Now, Hebrews 13, 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd. Pastor is another word for shepherd. Who brought from the dead Jesus, the great pastor of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, will he equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus is our great shepherd. Jesus is our lead pastor. I'm not. That's why we know. No matter what this world throws at us, we're going to be okay. Jesus is our lead pastor. Long ago, God spoke to his people at many times in many ways through these prophets. But now, he's spoken to us by his Son. Jesus has come and he has made purification for our sins. And after he died on the cross, God raised him to life again. And he is now seated. His work of saving, it's done. He's now seated as our king. This Jesus who's died for us, he's called our brother in Hebrews. He's our priest. He's the one who brings us into the presence of God. He's our king and he's our champion. He defeats every enemy. He is our lead pastor. That's how we know whatever this world throws at us, we're going to be okay. We have unstoppable hope and contagious joy. Jesus has us. Jesus is better. He is so much better. But sometimes our hope is shaken, isn't it? And sometimes our fears and our tears are louder than our joy. That's why all the warnings are in Hebrews. That's why we're told to commit to one another daily. Exhort one another, encourage one another, show one another Jesus. I'm going to finish with a gospel picture. It's one that Hebrews gives us. Most of the New Testament gives us this picture, actually. Phil introduced it to us last week, the now but not yet picture. Sometimes we call it the overlap of the ages. Why don't you go ahead and put it up on the screen now? Thanks, Jacinta. This picture is the one that helps Christians know why we have unstoppable hope and contagious joy, no matter what is being thrown at us. Do you remember when we were in Hebrews 11? And at the end of Hebrews 11, Christians back then were wrapped in animal skins and thrown into an arena for a perverted crowd to cheer on the lions. But we have unstoppable hope and contagious joy. Brothers and sisters, we have unstoppable hope and contagious joy when the cancer diagnosis comes. We have unstoppable hope and contagious joy when work runs out. We have unstoppable hope and contagious joy when, I'm no prophet, all right, when World War III breaks out. It just might happen in our lifetime. We have unstoppable hope and contagious joy because we know where we live. Long ago, God spoke through the prophets in the Old Testament. But now, see that cross? We now live in the new age. Jesus has come and he's defeated sin and death and he's been raised from the dead. And now there's this overlap between the old age and the new age, this grey area where we're living, where lots of crap happens and it hurts and it's painful. And we've got our own sin that we're still fighting with. But Jesus has promised he's returning. And he's going to take us into glory. We have unstoppable hope and contagious joy because Jesus is better. He is our lead pastor. He is our great shepherd. He is the great pastor. We have unstoppable hope and contagious joy. Amen. I'm going to pray. Oh, Father God, your story is the true story. You are real. You're in heaven and you're in control and you're good. You sent your son and he's coming again. Oh, Father, would you make our hearts believe? Take our hearts and seal them, Lord. Seal them for your courts above. Holy Spirit, give us eyes to see. Jesus is better. Jesus is better. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.